All right, so today's drink is called the Big Bowl.
That's a weird name. I'm hesitant.
Yeah, it is a weird name for a drink.
Well, let's see what's in it.
Yeah, it was a very, very easy drink. So this one was just one part tequila and two parts Kahlua. Something I would never think to put together. And it basically says pour it into a whiskey glass with lots of ice. I did add a little bit of creamer, I think it definitely needed the creamer. It's a cold, boozy coffee with a definite kick.
Yeah. Believe it or not, it's creamy. It's creamy. It's not bad. I'm not a fan of tequila. If you heard me say that before, it's not bad.
No, it's not a bad drink. It's not something that I would order constantly.
Right.
But it was something good. You know, we had the ingredients, something I didn't have to go running out for because I have not left the house yet today.
Yeah, you and me both.
So I was thinking about, we could get these ingredients for these other drinks. But I saw this and I was like, we have that stuff, even though we just ran out of tequila today.
Thank goodness.
No! I need my tequilas.
My wife has the heart of tequila.
Yes!
So she needs that.
Yes! We have to go get more tequila.
I could do without, but she needs it, I understand.
We run out of whiskey, what's going to happen?
Oh, there's going to be tables flipped.
Exactly.
Fair enough.
All right, so that was it. That was nice and simple. Up next is our review of Elves.
No. No.
So, just to let you know in the beginning, we're going to say Gavin and McGavin. His last name is McGavin. It was hard to hear at first, so we called him Gavin most of the time. So, you'll hear it interchangeably.
That's his name, Gavin. I'm sticking with it.
His name was Mike McGavin.
Fine.
But you'll hear both. And then after that, you will hear a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful piece by one of my friends, Monty B. It's called The Chill Out Christmas, and it's a great Christmas medley. You have to hear it.
And I'm not typically a Christmas type, but, you know, I'm interested in hearing this one.
Yeah. It's really good. So, stay tuned.
I love cookies.
I hate this movie.
I love cookies.
I hate this movie.
I love the blue tin cookies because they'll not make me cry.
I like the blue tin cookies, but I'll still cry. This movie's that bad.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another fun-filled episode of Bad Movies and Booze, where we're going to have to start implementing bans on people for suggesting movies. This one was difficult to watch.
It was difficult to watch. But we're not banning people.
No. You get a week ban. 1 week.
1 week. You can't suggest any more movies for a week.
Nope.
So Bill from Land of the Creeps and the Phantom Galaxy?
Nope.
You can't suggest a movie for a whole week.
No. Absolutely not.
So come back to us in the new year. You can suggest a movie.
After this clusterfuck, Jesus. I need a drink. And given that I tend to smack a little too much, I can't drink. Because I need a drink to get through the review of this thing.
Yeah, I'm going to have a big problem editing. Because I have to hear it again.
Ugh.
I know.
It's awful. But this is what we do. This is what we do for the hundreds, hopefully soon to be thousands, that will listen to us talk about these crazy, nutty movies. Here's hoping.
Yeah.
All right. So we are talking about the 1989 Elves. Yikes.
Yikes is not strong enough.
I would like to say WTF, but you know, I'm trying to be as PG as possible. But
you already said clusterfuck.
Well, yeah, that's true. So what the fuck? Oh, what the fuck? All right. Look, Elves, 1989, 4.1 out of 10 on IMDb. Is about a young woman discovers that she is the focus of an evil Nazi experiment involving selective breeding and summoned elves, an attempt to create a race of supermen. I need a drink already. She and two of her friends are trapped in a department store with an elf, only Dan Haggerty, as the renegade loose cannon Santa Claus can save them.
It's bad, y'all.
It's absurdly bad. It's horrifying. It's terrible. And before we even get into it, we had to stop watching the movie 30 minutes in.
Yes, we did. We had to take a break. After 10 minutes, we were like, what are we watching?
We're done here.
Yeah.
We're completely done. All right, we have a cast. Dan Haggerty, Julie Austin, Deanna Lund, Bora Silver, Mansell Rivers Bland, Christopher Graham, Laura Lichtenstein, Stacy Dye, Winter Monk. I can't believe that's an actual name. Winter Monk. Jeff Austin, Alan Lee, Paul Rohrer, and Ken Carpenter. Yeah, those are the only names I'm going to say here because there's a lot more in no. No, we're not going to give it much more than that.
All right, so this movie starts where there's a Christmas tree and decorations and creepy music, and one of the ornaments fall off the tree and breaks. Then we cut to three girls in the forest with some books and a candle. And the candle is in this glass candle holder. And one of the girls starts reading out of this book. And she says, "We now convene the Sisters of Anti-Christmas."
Because Christmas is a petty, over-commercialized media event. So apparently they're whiny asses about not getting good presents last Christmas.
Yeah. So Amy seems to be the leader in all of this. And Kirsten, she seems to be new. She's asking questions. And then there's Brooke, who is the dumb one in the whole group. I don't know why they made her the dumb one. It doesn't add anything to the story at all.
It's just plot. It's just terrible plot.
Yeah. So Kirsten thinks they are out there to try and figure out how she can get a guy named Dave. And Amy says they should try and figure out everything because they're girls, the master race. Girls are a race.
Not a master sex, master race.
Yes.
I mean, when it comes to that, as far as a strong, dominant gender, there's going to be a lot of people that'll have their heads and tails about it. For me, without women, there will be no men. What? And vice versa, without men, there will be no women. But it's more without women, there will be no men.
I mean, yeah, that's fine. But master race?
No, absolutely not.
So they're showing this picture that's in this sketchbook that Kirsten drew. And is this naked lady with these boobs and she has these markings on her breasts. And Andrew saw it immediately. And I just saw some geometric markings. And that's what Kirsten says.
Mm-hmm.
So they're just sitting out there talking. And then the candle is about to burn out. And for some reason, all the girls grab the candle. And it breaks. And Kirsten gets cut and starts bleeding.
So when that happens, of course, whenever a glass candle holder breaks, some of the shards are going to fall into the ground. And as it falls into the ground, we see the ground move. It pulsated a little bit.
Right.
And from there, after that, the girls leave the area. And after they leave, so this little tiny hand claw thing comes out. And I'm looking and thinking to myself, okay, how many of these little things are going to come out of here?
Yeah, for some reason, it's only one.
Hmm.
But Kirsten goes into the house and she puts the book back. And then she's looking at different stuff in this room. And her grandpa, he's in a wheelchair. And he rolls in behind her.
Pimp slap two times.
Yeah, just slaps the mess out of her.
The first one was for being somewhere where you weren't supposed to, and the second was for the lie that you were about to tell.
Yeah. So he asks her if she was in the forest, and she says no. Then she comes out of the study is where she was, and her mom is angry, and her mom says she's going to close the girl's bank account. So we're like, why is she closing the girl's bank account? It just doesn't make any sense.
Mom's a piece of trash.
Mom's a big piece of trash. So Kirsten's in the shower and she takes a shower. For some reason, she has the bathroom door cracked open a little bit and her little brother comes along. His name is Willie and he's peeking into the bathroom. And all of a sudden, there's this creepy, rapey, incestuous conversation happening where the little boy is being very gross.
He's being pervy.
He's being very pervy. That's a good way to put it.
I'm going
to
tell everyone that I saw you naked and you had big tits.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Why are you going to say this about your sister?
Yeah. The little creepy thing that we saw in the forest, he breaks the basement window out. And for some reason, they show this in slow motion. And we're seeing through the creepy thing's eyes at sometimes. And it's like really blurry and it doesn't.
It's kind of like the memes where you see the SpongeBob SquarePants trigger.
Yeah.
It looks something like that.
Yeah, kind of blurred all around except for the middle.
Mm-hmm.
So then everybody's sleeping and the thing ends up in the little brother's room and is trying to kill the little brother. And the little brother starts screaming. Everybody's getting up and running into the room. The cat runs across. There's a cat in the house and the cat runs across the little brother and scratches him on the back.
It could kind of be disputed that it was the little creepy hand.
No, it was the cat that scratched him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay. It was the cat.
Yeah, I guess I was so fixated on that little gremlin-looking piece of turd.
Yeah.
Ugh. Even so.
It scratches the little boy on the back and runs out. But it scares the creepy thing. And so the creepy thing jumps out the window.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody comes into the room and Willie is like, it was trying to kill me. It was trying to kill me. And they're like, what are you talking about? And he's trying to explain to them what it was. And mom doesn't believe him. Mom just says, oh, well, this explains it. The cat just scratched you on the back. You were just dreaming about it or whatever.
It wasn't my cat. My cat was innocent.
Yeah.
So from there, Kirsten picks up Agamemnon, the cat.
Yes. Why she named the cat Agamemnon?
I don't know the pronunciation of that word, but it doesn't even matter. I'm only going to see this movie once. So Kirsten picks up the cat. Mom, and she leaves the room. Mom is quick to follow behind. They cut off the light in the bedroom, leaving the boy high and dry, trying to figure out what the hell was trying to kill him.
Yeah.
And he just winds up going back to sleep.
Right.
I'm trying to look at mom and sis like, what the hell?
Right. Yeah, they just left him all alone. Poor little boy. No kind of love or comfort or anything. Just whatever. That scene is over and we're hearing this brass trio play outside of a department store.
Golem department store.
Yes. I thought it was supposed to be a mall because when you go inside the department store, Kirsten is working in a restaurant. So, I mean, and I know like certain stores had restaurants. I remember I'm dating Strawbridge and Clothier.
Woo! You took me back.
They had a restaurant.
I'll go even worse than that.
What?
Woolworth.
Well, yeah. Woolworth had the iconic counter.
Yes.
Where you can get... They had pretty good milkshakes there, too.
I never had one.
What?
Not that I can recall.
What?
And believe me, I have... What was it that that Rick said? Food recall?
Yeah. You definitely have food recall.
Total food recall.
It's like you give him some food and he can remember, oh, yeah, this day And I had this and this and this kind of food and that, and it tasted like this. And
this situation arose.
Yes. He can tell you all of it.
Yeah.
So anyway, I don't know how you didn't have a milkshake. But anyway, back to the story. So Kirsten works at a restaurant. Her friends are in there eating, and they're talking about how, I can't believe your stepmom is closing your account. And Kirsten is like, yeah, I don't even know why I'm working here now. It's not like I'm going to get the money because it's going in her bank account and her mom's closing it, which really doesn't make sense.
Mom is trash.
Mom is trash.
That's all I need to know. Mom is trash if she's going to be doing that.
Yeah. And they're like, yeah, your stepmom's a bitch. And they're and Kirsten's like, it's not my stepmom. It's my mom. And they're like, she's too young. Yeah. So then she says, no, my mom had me when she was 16. That's my mom.
Teenage pregnancy.
Right. So this guy walks in. This is McGavin. He walks in and he's talking to Hugh, the manager of the department store. And he's trying to get a job. He used to work at the department store as a security guard after he was let go from the police force as a detective because of his drinking.
Being a dick at the police force, I mean, you got to drink something. Need something stipping hard after looking at dead bodies.
Really? That's what you want to say? That's what you want to say?
Being a dick in a police department?
And you need something stiff and hard?
Not the best choice of words.
Not at all.
Not the best choice of words, ladies and gentlemen.
Not at all. So McGavin is looking for a job. Hugh says no, and he just walks out the door. But then they cut over to the house, and Mom is in the house, and she scoops the cat up into a little bag.
Oh, this is not going to be fun, everybody. I mean, Mom is on the warpath because of what happened to the little boy the previous night.
Right.
Got the cat.
Yeah.
Beautiful black cat. Reminded us of T'Challa.
Then we cut back to Kirsten, and she's sitting on Santa's lap, and Santa starts feeling her up, and he whispers oral in her ear. So then we cut back to Mom.
Picked up the cat, has it in a pillowcase. Poor cat don't know what's going on. And then Mom goes into the bathroom, goes to the toilet, and drowns the poor cat in the toilet.
Yes, in the pillowcase, in the toilet, yeah.
How the cat wasn't fighting back, I don't know.
So then Hugh walks over to rapey Santa.
Yeah, I like that.
And he kicks rapey Santa out. But he's not firing him. He's just saying he's suspended. And he's talking about suspending Kirsten because she should have been at work and not playing around on Santa's lap. So we cut back to Mom. She's burying the cat in the backyard. Then we cut back to rapey Santa and he's snorting coke in the dressing room.
Just to let you know, everyone, there's going to be a lot of weird cutting going on in this movie.
Yes, too. They go back and forth to different scenes a lot, like way too much. So all of a sudden, while the Santa is trying to snort coke, the creepy thing comes into the dressing room out of nowhere and starts stabbing Santa in the dick.
Yeah, he bled all over and he bled out through his penis.
Yeah.
Santa.
Poor Santa.
Poor, poor, drug-addled,
rapey Santa.
Rapey Santa.
Yeah. So, of course, the cops are looking at Kirsten, and they're asking her what happened. And she's like, I didn't do anything. And they're saying, of course, you know, we're looking at you because Santa felt you up, and then all of a sudden, he gets stabbed in the dick.
How did you cops know that I got felt up by Santa? Were you watching?
I'm pretty sure Hugh told them found dead Santa.
Yeah, that's true. Well, he went from bad Santa to dead Santa.
Yeah.
What a shame. Not really.
No. So then Kirsten's back at home and she's asking about the cat. Mom says she hasn't seen it.
Lying hussy.
So then we cut to McGavin. He's walking to his trailer and there's an eviction notice on the front of the trailer. So then we cut back to Kirsten. She's looking for the cat.
Agamemnon.
Yeah, she's calling out the window looking for the cat.
Agamemnon.
So the creepy thing happens to be back at Kirsten's house, finds where the cat is buried, and digs it up. And Kirsten is in the bed. She hears a noise. She looks out the window and she sees the creepy thing holding her dead cat. So she's screaming. Then we see a scene where she's sitting in the living room and she's telling her mom what happened. And her mom doesn't believe her. She's like, it must have been a raccoon or something. And Kirsten's like, no, looked like a gremlin and he killed my cat. And her mom is like, no, you're crazy. Grandpop comes in with his book and he says he knows it's elves, which I'm still trying to figure out how this thing that looks like it's been boiled and all his skin fell off is an elf.
Pointy ears, pointy nose, 2 feet tall, elf. Yeah, well, you can look at me like that all you want. That's fine. But yeah, pointy ears, pointy nose, 2 feet tall, elf.
But why does he have to look like a monster?
Elf logic.
So Grandpa says it's elves. He starts putting all these relics together. And Mom tells Grandpa, no, it wasn't elves. I killed the cat. And so that was pretty much the end of that part.
Trash.
Yeah. So then McGavin is in the diner with Kirsten. And they just start talking because Kirsten's looking sad. And she's like, you know, my cat died yesterday. And so he just starts commiserating with her and trying to just make her feel a little better, which was nice.
Right.
So Hugh comes in and he says he has a job for him. So, of course, Hugh makes him the next Santa.
Big flowing hair, the nice full beard. My goodness, that's a handsome Santa.
Yeah, he was actually, he's a nice looking guy. And he does, I mean, he looks like Santa. He definitely didn't have to stuff anything.
No, so not at all.
He was big.
He got the rosy red cheeks and the bowl full of jelly.
Yeah, it was interesting.
Or however it's supposed to rhyme.
So he goes to the back into the dressing room and they still have
the taped outline of the stabbed Santa on the floor.
Yes.
What the hell?
And it's just in the dressing room, just the outline of the man.
I had a good ass laugh on that one.
But I'm like, why didn't they remove the tape?
Why not? This is going to be your future if you mess up. If you go being rapey and having cocaine up your nose.
I guess.
This is your future.
So then Gavin is talking to himself and he's like, you know, he used to be a detective and now he's basically knocked all the way down to being Santa.
Mm-hmm.
And he sees a symbol on the floor. Then we cut to Grandpa. And he's talking to this guy with these two bodyguards. And they're talking about the elves. And they're talking something about a pure genetic line. And he says, with or without Grandpa, this will happen. What will happen? We don't know.
Yeah, but I think it's along the lines of a new world order with Kirsten at the helm.
I mean, eventually we find out, but, you know.
I mean, that's just a working theory.
What makes you think that?
You know, elves and women being a master race. I mean, it sounds about right.
Yeah, because elves bring on the New World Order.
Of course they do.
Of course.
Because they're 2 foot tall, gray boiled, with pointy noses and pointy ears.
Yeah.
Elf logic.
New World Order.
Elf logic.
Of course. So, Kirsten is still at work. Her friends are there. And there's this guy that's watching Kirsten. And of course, he's typical slicked back ponytail, leather coat thug guy.
Yeah, he's a goon.
Yeah. So like you automatically know that he's a goon, but he's sitting in the diner or restaurant or wherever Kirsten is working and just sitting at a table in the back watching her or whatever. So then we cut back to Gavin. He's about to leave for the night. He actually says, see you later to the taped outline on the floor.
I missed that part. Oh, shit.
Yeah. Because that's supposed to be his buddy. Because now he's going to start sleeping in the dressing room since he was evicted from his trailer.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he puts tape on the door so that he can be able to get back in the door without it locking behind him.
Right.
Kirsten is about to put tape on the door, but then she saw the tape that was already there. She doesn't understand why it's there, but she's like, all right, whatever. So Gavin goes to the library and he's looking for a book on mystical symbols and he's smoking a cigarette in the library.
It's 1989. Indoor smoking is permitted.
Not everywhere.
Well, in this movie, 1989, with a two-foot...
And definitely not in a library. You can't smoke in a library anywhere.
Well, it's either smoke in a library or get stabbed in the dick by an elf.
Oh my gosh. I don't think that those are your only two choices.
Those are my choices right then and there. I'm smoking in a library.
Well, of course, but I don't think those were his only two choices.
Well, he can't... was he able to shoot it?
He could have put the cigarette out. You know, that's a choice.
And then what happens to the plot? That's his thing.
Yeah. So anyway, the girls are waiting for Kirsten so that they can go back into the mall or into the department store. And one of them takes the tape off the door. So now Gavin can't get in. And Kirsten asks the girl what she has in her hand. And she's like, the tape. And she's like, you dummy. How are the guys getting in? Because they're waiting for these guys that they want to make out with or whatever. So she goes to put the tape back on the door. Gavin can't get in the meantime, so he goes to find something to try and jimmy the door open.
Got a pipe.
Yeah. And when he gets back, the tape is there.
And he's able to get into the door.
So he gets in and he takes the tape off. So now the girls are dressing up and they're waiting for the guys to come. And Gavin goes into his dressing room and he's smoking another cigarette.
Mm-hmm.
And he hears something. He goes out. He sees the girls putting makeup on. But the troll is like right there, or elf, or whatever you want to call this ugly thing.
Gremlin ass.
Yeah. Is right there, but he doesn't see it. So Gavin goes to the girls. They're like, basically, what are you doing here in it to each other? Because neither one of them are supposed to be in the building.
My little secret, your little secret.
Basically.
Let's make a deal.
Yeah.
And the deal was a simple one. You don't steal anything. You don't break anything. I won't rat you out.
Basically, that was it. Grandpa is looking for Kirsten because the German guys are there again and they realize where Kirsten is. So
not at a friend's house. As right. She said.
She said she was supposed to be at a friend's house.
I don't believe she's at that friend's house.
Right. So the guys that Kirsten and her friends were waiting for, they get to the department store and realize the door is locked because Gavin took the tape off the door. They're trying to find something to break the door down. They walk away. And then you hear people breaking the door down, like really working on this door. And you think it's the guys. But then when the door busts open,
a head was busted open.
Yeah, one of the guys falls and he's dead. And the German men come busting through the door.
I think that was Dave that died.
I don't know which one of them died. They never gave any real names. It was just three guys.
Yeah, that's true.
So...
But I put money that it's Dave.
It probably was Dave. So Dave. While they're coming in, they set off the alarm. The girls think it's their guys that they're waiting on. So Amy gets on the freight elevator. And then the German guys get on the freight elevator. Mm. They see Amy. They're asking her, where is she? Where is she? And Amy's just screaming. So they shoot her in the head.
Beautiful.
It was not beautiful.
Yes, it was. You didn't have any answers and you didn't have a purpose. You gotta die. Bang.
Basically. So Kirsten sees the troll, elf, whatever, and hides. Gavin hears all the commotion, sees the guys who aren't supposed to be in there, and hears the gun go off. So he tries to go and grab a gun, and the German guys see him. And they start shooting. So now there's a whole shootout. McGavin is hiding where Kirsten's hiding. Mm-hmm. And so they're talking like, what is happening? Kirsten, she tries to hide again because she looks up and she sees the gremlin. And Gavin sees it. And he's like, what is that? And she says, it's a troll or something. Or she says, it's a gremlin. And I think it's trying to help me.
I don't know how you deducted that logic.
Yeah.
But... You know, we'll go with it.
No. No, we, it was weird.
We need to go with this because the movie is weird all by itself. So why not? Why not?
No. Anyway, Brooke now runs to the elevator and she sees that Amy is dead. So Brooke goes to hide in a room that has all these mannequins in it. And the troll gremlin elf is in there. So she screams and she runs out and he chases her. And he's all around these toys. And they see, like, all these mechanical toys moving around or whatever.
Well, yeah, I love those. Those little wind-up or, you know, flip-a-switch toys. They walk around. They make little noises. Walk around a little more. Make some noises.
Yeah, but why do they have to show that?
Because it's a weakness. Did you not notice him backing up and having that look of fear, even though he had that weird look on his face?
I just saw him look.
He had a weird look, but he was backing up. He didn't like the toys. So apparently this elf doesn't like toys. Yeah, think about that.
Maybe he makes cookies.
So what the fuck?
Like
This is the Keebler elf? This is a Keebler elf that's chasing this girl.
I mean, if he doesn't like toys.
Wait, it's a Keebler elf that doesn't like making toys.
I guess. I mean.
But you don't see him running around with a plate of cookies?
But he's an elf. It's toys or cookies. And he doesn't like toys.
What if he's a dentist?
Yeah, he could be one. He could want to be a dentist. All right. So maybe he's a dentist. Anyway.
How those teeth look, I would bet no.
Probably not. Yeah. So the troll finds Brooke and he starts slicing her up.
Wearing a Santa hat, no less.
Yeah.
Here's your present.
I don't know. Yeah, it was really, like, I don't know why they put that Santa hat on him.
Slit her arm, slit her leg, then just started gutting her like a damn fish. Oh, right. It was wonderful.
It was not wonderful. Stop saying that.
Oh, it was lovely.
Anyway, the German guys finally see Kirsten, but they hear the cops coming. Mm-hmm. So now they run. So Gavin and Kirsten see that Brooke is dead. And he sees the symbols again in Brooke's blood. So the cops come and they tell McGavin that he's the prime suspect, but they give him 24 hours to clear his name because he used to be a good detective before the drinking. I don't think that's how it's supposed to work.
Yeah, it is. It's movie logic.
Movie logic.
Movie logic.
Of course.
Got 24 hours.
So Hughes shows up and says that Kirsten is liable for all the damage. So.
How?
Yeah.
Is number one.
Because she wasn't supposed to be in there. He thinks that she was trying to rob the store. And they start arguing. So
slapped Hugh.
Yeah, he should have been slapped.
A few times.
So McGavin comes over. He breaks the fight up. And Hugh fires them both. So then everybody's out of the department store.
Never mind. You don't take the bodies with you.
Right.
Because the elf takes a hold of poor Brooke's hand. Just looks at it, admires it, sniffs it, then bites her fingers off.
But then he sees a rat and decides to go chase the rat.
Rat's much more tasty.
Obviously.
You know, it's the rabies. The rabies bring out the flavor.
I've never had rabies flavored rat. I don't think I want to either.
Have you ever had rat?
No.
There you go.
Not as far as I know. I mean, I've eaten in some seedy places, so.
Unless you've been to, like, the ways of Demolition Man and had a rat burger. It's the rabies.
So anyway, McGavin and Kirsten are back at Kirsten's house. Her mom doesn't believe that Kirsten's friends were killed or anything like that. I'm like, I don't understand why she doesn't believe this.
Because she's trash.
She thinks that Gavin and Kirsten are sleeping together. So she's like, she's going to call the cops. And she basically tells him he needs to get out. So he's leaving. And Grandpa asks him to describe what he saw. So McGavin tells Grandpa basically what he saw. And he sees a symbol in the house with Grandpa. Mm-hmm. So Grandpa says the forces can destroy McGavin and tells him that he'll protect his granddaughter.
Yeah, good luck, Grandpa, in a wheelchair.
Yeah, so Grandpa tells Kirsten to pack and that she has a destiny that he must teach her to undo, which,
we're going to find that out later.
Yeah, so McGavin goes to look for this professor, Jean Scott Fitzpatrick. He shows the professor this symbol, and the professor is talking about these Bible stories And he's talking about Noah and getting on the ark and all this other stuff. And he's saying all the 2x2 things. He says the creepy things or that were supposed to get on the ark with Noah were actually elves.
Oh, boy.
And then he tells him the Nazis believed in elves. And he sends him to Professor O'Connor. So,
you know, when I heard about Nazis and elves, that's when the absurdity just started for me. I said, okay, I can kind of deal with the elf in the department store killing people. But when you put in Nazis on this thing, okay, you know what? Yeah, no, no. God damn it.
But just wait, it gets worse.
Oh, God.
So there's Nazi guys following Gavin. Grandpa's getting all his artifacts together. Mom goes to Kirsten and says she now believes her about her friends dying. And Mom, they're talking about how she was like her dad.
Just a slight bit of sincerity.
Right.
That's what we were looking for. Yeah. Like, thank you. So, finally, jeez.
Mom starts complimenting Kirsten and then all of a sudden turns it into criticism.
Oh, and narcissist. So
Kirsten says she wishes her dad was still alive. And
oh, my God. People, what we're about to say. Oh, what we're about to say. Okay, so here we go. So Kirsten wishes her father was still alive. Mom says your father has been in the study all along. What are you talking about? He's dead. No, he's not. Grandpa's in the study. Well, guess what? Grandpa is your daddy.
Yes.
What the fuck?
And then she, like, smacks her. And they, like, she for some reason, she hits Kirsten.
She opens a can of whoop-ass on her daughter.
Like Kirsten did it.
What the fuck? Huh? And on top of that, you know, the elf sees this.
Yeah, the elf is watching all of this.
And he knows who is next on the hit list.
He knows who's been bad or good.
So even if you're good, you're still going to wind up dead.
Probably.
Yeah.
So then McGavin barges into Dr. O'Connor's house. McGavin barges into Dr. O'Connor's house. He's sitting at the table about to eat dinner. He's carving a turkey.
Man, that turkey did look good, though.
You know it was super fake.
Who cares? It looked delicious.
So, of course, O'Connor is mad. McGavin says it's a life and death matter. Mm-hmm. Dr. O'Connor says, you know I'm a member of the neighborhood watch.
Stop. Hold on. Life and death. I need your expertise. You're telling me about you being a part of the neighborhood watch? How the fuck is it going to help us here? You're going to flashlight the shit out of my problem?
Obviously. Fuck, obviously. So McGavin asks the connection between elves and Nazis. Mm. O'Connor goes into this thing, says there are two schools of thought. One, elves are small and magical and can't be hurt or killed, so they make great soldiers. So that's what the Nazis were using them for.
Makes sense.
The other school of thought is they were a genetic experiment and the DNA of the master race was stored in them and they could select a virgin to mate with on Christmas Eve to produce the master race to take over the world.
Which actually follows a much better line of logic for the movie purpose, of course. But either way, it's still absurd.
Yeah, they're both absurd. So McGavin leaves. Nazi follows him. Kirsten is now talking to her grandpa.
Oh, no, no, not grandpa. Daddy.
Well, he's daddy pa.
Ugh, God. I actually have my notes as grandfather.
Yes.
So emphasis.
He is still grandpa.
Yeah, but yeah, you're the grandfather.
Yeah. So he tells Kirsten he thought he was doing the right thing. And he said that Kirsten's mom was drugged when he did it. So she didn't even know it happened.
Wait a damn minute. What? Okay, I missed that part.
You missed that?
Oh, I'm glad I missed that part.
Yeah.
Because I would probably have to have more drinks.
Yeah.
So so it's not being outright told, but it is greatly implied that grandfather raped this poor woman.
Right. To create the master race. They had to have a clean genetic bloodline.
How is it a clean genetic bloodline when... Okay, you know what?
So, yeah, he said it was to produce Kirsten so she could be the perfect female for the genetic line. Now, Mom is getting in the tub.
And we get to see nudity.
But she's crying and drawing on the mirror with her lipstick.
With her clown self.
Yeah. So we cut back to McGavin. And I'm almost positive this man smokes like 10 packs a day.
He has.
Because he is smoking another cigarette.
It's been a stressful night.
Yeah, I mean, he did get shot at quite a bit.
Shot at, saw a gremlin thing.
Yeah.
Got kicked out of at least 2 houses.
Yeah.
It's been a rough night. It on top of his own damn house.
Yeah, very true. It's been
rough. Look, I want to buy him a carton of Newports. Get that menthol.
So I guess he sees the guy following him. Because, of course, he used to be a detective.
Mm-hmm.
So he sets his car on fire and rolls out of the car. The car blows up. The Nazi guy stops to look at the blown up car. And Gavin starts punching him in the face.
Whooped his
Yeah. ass. And he's asking him, who is he? What are you doing here? All this other stuff. How many teeth do you have? And then he punches him again. He's like, how many teeth do you have now? And the Nazi guy starts foaming at the mouth and dies.
It's possible that he had a capsule or a pill of some sort.
Yeah.
Which was like a suicide pact, I believe that they call it. And that would cause him to foam at the mouth and wind up dying off of that.
Yeah. So Gavin takes his car. Mom gets in the tub. The elf is in the house breaking the ornaments. Kirsten and Willie hears it. And Willie is like, oh, is that Santa? And Kirsten's like, no. And then Grandpa is calling for Kirsten, but she's ignoring him because, of course, she's pissed at him. Next thing we know, we see Mom. She looks up. She's looking up in horror. And the elf knocks a radio into the bathtub and electrocutes Mom.
Oh, the classic radio in the tub bit.
Yes, and she's jumping all over the place and her fake titties are going every which way. It was, yeah. So then the lights are like blinking and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
McGavin gets back to the house and he sees the mom dead in the tub. With the symbol written on the side of the tub in her blood.
We know who was here.
Right. So he tries to get the kids out of the house.
What happened to Mom? Oh, don't worry, my buddy. She's going to be all right.
Yeah, he keeps saying Mom's going to be okay. And it's like, Mom is not okay.
Mom is burnt.
Yes.
And soaking.
Yes.
And she dead.
Yeah, very dead. Grandpa is saying that they have to protect Kirsten so they can't leave. And Kirsten and Grandpa tell McGavin about the whole genetic line to give birth to a race of army elves. But Grandpa says she's not going to give birth to an elf or a human. It would be the Antichrist.
So Nazis and elves, super elf army, but wind up giving birth to the Antichrist to rule the world.
Yep.
I need drugs.
So then they pull out the sketchbook that had the naked lady drawing in it.
Mm-hmm.
And Grandpa connects the lines and shows that it's swastikas on the tits, which is what Andrew saw in the beginning.
Yep. I saw it early. I was like, oh, wait a minute. Nope. Those are swastikas.
I didn't see it.
I saw it.
Quick. I didn't see it at all.
I drew it on there for you on the screen.
You did.
And you kind of saw it, but you're like, no, I don't see it. And then, bam, Grandpa connected the dots.
Grandpa connected the tits.
You Nazi bastard.
He's now showing them how to kill the elf. And some guy comes in with the camera. He's the German guy who had the cronies shooting at everybody. So he comes in with a video camera and Gavin starts fighting with him and another guy and tells the kids to leave. Grandpa pulls out a gun and he starts shooting and he shoots this guy like twice and the guy goes over and snatches the gun from Grandpa.
this tall-ass goon.
And then he falls to the ground, and the main German guy grabs the gun and shoots Grandpa.
Well, Grandpa
and kills him. Yeah. So Gavin starts beating him, and yeah, he's telling them to run out the door, and then McGavin gets shot. So Kirsten and her brother are running, and the main German guy gets into a Jeep, and he's chasing them.
With quintessential 1980s music.
Yeah. So they're running through the forest, and he's driving in this Jeep, and then the Jeep falls off of this little ramp. It's not like a, it's not a hill, and it definitely wasn't a cliff.
It wasn't a knoll either.
But he just falls off the side, and the Jeep flips over. He gets out of the Jeep and starts walking. So while Kirsten is running in the woods, they get back to the spot where the elf came out of the ground, and the wound from where she got cut, it had disappeared before, but it automatically came back.
I guess it's because she was in the vicinity of the incident that it magically reappeared.
I don't know.
Elf magic properties, kind of ties in.
But Kirsten falls or something. The guy, she's screaming, and the German guy is like trying to tell her to calm down, and he loves her, and he won't hurt her. And she's screaming and fighting him. And the elf comes along and shoots the German guy.
Elf is packing heat.
Yes.
He knows how to use a gun.
So Kirsten can't get up. Willie is trying to help her up so they can run, but he can't get up. And Kirsten tells Willie to go run to the house and get the crystal thing that Grandpa had. Mm-hmm. So.
And she stalls her brother for time.
Yeah. So the elf starts feeling Kirsten up.
Oh boy, the elf knows what time it is. It's Christmas Eve. He knows the rule. He know he only got a little bit of a window
to
get that work.
I guess. So she's trying to fight him off. He gets a little distracted by a bug, and he grabs it and then offers that to Kirsten. So Willie gets to the house to get the crystal. He's looking in the spot where the crystal was, but Gavin, who was shot, gets up kind of like staggering off the floor, hands Willie the crystal, and is like, take this to your sister. She's going to need this. So Willie runs back with the crystal.
Meanwhile, Elf is trying to set the mood and try to get into the skirt of Kirsten.
Right. And she crawls to the hole that the elf originally climbed out of. And she says something like, die you. I'm not going to say the word because it's very derogatory. And she throws the crystal into the hole and it explodes. And there's all this bad blurriness and slow motion all over the place.
The elf is dying.
Yeah, the elf's dying.
Because of that action.
Even though it was explained that the elves can't be hurt or killed.
Which was the most contradictory bullshit I ever heard.
Right.
You threw a crystal that is tied into this elf into its grave. It's dying.
Right.
But it can't be.
Yeah.
Right.
So.
Movie. Plot.
Kirsten and Willie, they're in the forest. Kirsten's like holding Willie. Everything around them is burned up, completely burned, like serious forest fire, but they're fine. And they're looking around, and then it cuts to the credits and a fetus with the heartbeat.
The elf gave Kirsten the business. Somehow, some way.
I'm guessing when Willie ran back.
He was probably finishing up at that point.
So.
But yeah. Even still, I mean. If it wasn't that, then it was some serious osmosis.
I don't know. Maybe when he gave her the bug.
Yeah, well, she really didn't take it. I mean, it was kind of like him courting. Like, I have a bug for you.
Yeah.
Let's get busy.
But.
Yeah, let me give you a bug and see if that'll get you in the mood.
Yeah, it'll get me in the mood, all right. To punch you in the face.
And there's my point. Kirsten should have punched the thing.
Yeah, maybe if she would have punched him.
And apparently there's going to be an elf baby or. It's not even an elf baby. It's the Antichrist.
Yeah.
Oh, crap.
Yeah, that was the end of the movie.
Thank goodness.
A bad movie with the acting actually wasn't that terrible.
Right.
It was just the premise of the movie and the way the movie was made.
It was just too too busy.
It was very busy. And I think that's really what the problem was. Because, yeah, the acting, like, the way they said their lines and all of that stuff, that really wasn't bad. Like, Birdemic, those people could not act at all.
Nope.
None of them.
Birdemic and Birdemic 2? Nope.
But these people, I wonder if they've done anything else. I guess we'll look at that later.
Yeah, we could.
So, next week, I think we are going to go into a totally different kind of movie because we've been doing a lot of... I mean, we did do an action movie last week, I guess, so...
Guardians.
Yeah. But someone sent me a movie called Never Too Young to Die, starring John Stamos, Vanity, and Gene Simmons as a transsexual.
Wait, what? I didn't read that.
No, you didn't read it there.
I read the names.
Oh, I watched the trailer. The look on his face. This thing, I mean, what I got with this suggestion was, I mean, with that cast, it already sucks. Yes. Yes, it does. So we'll be reviewing that next week.
No.
Yes.
Oh, God.
Yes. You're going to love it.
Did you forget the title of this podcast?
Well, no. But you'll love it.
I am not going to love this.
You'll love it.
No.
You'll love it.
No, absolutely not.
So up next, we are going to have a special, special Christmas performance from one of my good friends, Monty B. So stay tuned for that. I think you will love it.
All right. Sounds wonderful. And of course, with this holiday season, Merry Christmas, Happy Kwanzaa, Happy Hanukkah, whatever you celebrate, celebrate it with your loved ones at a socially distanced level. Of course, during these trying times, it is going to be a bit challenging, but we are a very determined human race. And we know in our heart of hearts, we are going to be there for everyone in any way, shape, or form. And whenever we do that, of course, especially with video conferencing with your loved ones this holiday season, please, please, please drink responsibly.
And cheers.